I have a question for you. Are you ready? Where is Christ? Where is Christ? Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Christ is on the throne. Then you read verse 10. Christ is in you. I just have this sense to begin this message this morning. It's just to bring your thought focused on this, that Christ as a living person is in you right now. We shouldn't agree or accept the theological teaching that, well, Christ is on the throne and the Spirit represents him in us. What about Ephesians chapter 3? Christ is making his home in our heart. Now, here's the next step. Not that you should just try to do in a kind of objective way. But have you ever had conversation with the Christ who is in you, person to person? We think that all of our relationships are kind of religious. We have to be certain kind of language. We know from it that Christ is making his home in our heart. And we know from what our brother Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He said, I was crucified with Christ. That Christ died for me. So when Christ was on the cross, he was a God-man. And as God, he was all-knowing. And he was the one, in Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and 5, that in him we were chosen before the foundation of the universe to be a son of God. So he knew us before anything existed. And then we were born, but Christ knew when he was on the cross, he didn't just die in a kind of general way for all that were chosen by God to be children of God. You just look at that verse again from 2:20. He died for me. He knew that Paul existed, and he was bearing Paul's sins on his body. I just come back to this verse again and again. It's one of the most important verses in the New Testament to realize. When Christ died, he knew each one of us. And that is why Paul could speak about Christ is making his home in my heart. And I believe that the time will come, step by step, when your relationship with the Lord will be far beyond religion. You just realize he's a wonderful, all-inclusive person, and he's within me. Has he ever? You ever had the sense that he called you? That he wanted your attention? He wanted to have fellowship with you? I'm just emphasizing the reality and the practicality of the indwelling Christ. Now we come to message 4, And the outline is not very long, but I want to focus all the rest of my speaking on each section in a rather focused and detailed way, knowing and experiencing truthfulness. Knowing and then experiencing truthfulness. And worshiping God the Father in truthfulness. So we need to learn from Paul again. He's the one, as far as we know, the first one to use this word truthfulness. And we won't take time for the scripture reading, but here in 2 John 1 and 3 John 1, if I remember correctly, in 2 John 1, he talks about, he's addressing this one, whom I love in truthfulness. He put love and truthfulness together. And the same thing with 3 John. I love you in truthfulness. So it's knowing what truthfulness is and experiencing truthfulness. Then if we are knowing and experiencing truthfulness, then we will have the ability to worship God the Father in truthfulness. He's been waiting for centuries to be loved and to be worshiped in truthfulness. He knows for generations, for centuries, honest, genuine Christian believers, for the most part, were worshiping him in a religious way. But every one of us, you have a father or a grandfather. Don't you have a deep personal relationship with your father, with your grandfather? And we want to have this kind of organic relationship with God our Father. And then to offer him the worshiping he's been waiting so long. So now we just go point by point. And if the message turns out to be shorter than usual, so be it. That gives you more time to testify your experience of truthfulness. Truthfulness is the revealed divine reality. The triune God dispensed into us in the Son, Jesus Christ, becoming our genuineness and sincerity, so that we may live a life that corresponds with the divine light. I don't know if I made a mistake, if that should be divine life. So let's put them together. Divine light, divine life, and worship God as God seeks, according to what he is. I want to look at this one statement very carefully. Truthfulness is the revealed divine reality. So when we are really experiencing the revealed divine reality, we become little by little truthfulness. All of our prayers, all of our singing is genuine. Then the definition of this divine reality, the triune God dispensed into us. Dispensed. This is an ongoing process that the process and consummated triune God is continually dispensing himself into us. I believe that during the Lord's table meeting, there was this kind of inner sense that he is dispensing himself into us. Becoming, then the issue is becoming our genuineness. So we don't become genuineness or sincere by our own effort. It's the divine reality, the triune God himself becomes our genuineness and sincerity. I would just wonder, just where we live on the earth, how many sincere and genuine people are they? Those that are in politics, whatever they are. Where is genuineness? Where is truthfulness? Dear saints, we're another category of being. Born again of God, and the divine reality is being dispensed into us, becoming our genuineness and sincerity, so that we may live a life that corresponds with the divine life and light, and worship God as God seeks, according to what he is. For centuries, people have tried to worship God, but it's altogether in a religious way. It's not genuine. It's not real. But the Father has been seeking. He's been waiting. But there will be this kind of genuine worship. Then consider this, according to what he is. So this is an outstanding point of truth. So the subpoints now will give us more understanding. The Greek word in 2 John, it's verse 1, there's only one chapter so-called, is the same word for truth, reality. According to John's usage of the word truth, especially in his gospel, in 2 John 1 and 3 John 1, denotes the revealed divine reality and faithfulness. Here I want to pause. That the Gospel, John, writing at an age of 90 plus, his testimony mainly was truth. Reality. And I think it's in chapter 18 of the Gospel of John. John is standing before a governmental leader, and he said something like this: I was born and I came into the world to testify the truth. I'm the incarnated God. I'm here with you to testify the truth. And then what did he say? What is truth? So this aspect of Christ's being to me is beyond description. And his truthfulness is his genuineness, and the truthfulness, when it's being just worked into us to become our genuineness and sincerity, then the time will finally come when the Father could say, I've been waiting for centuries for this genuine worship. You are not only genuine and sincere, but you know me. And you are worshiping me according to what I am. And so, from this point on, the Lord as the expression of God the Father in his shepherding of us is going to make more and more fully aware according to what God the Father is. He came into the world for this. And now his testimony is through the body of Christ. Point C, this is the virtue of God becoming our virtue by which we love the believers. So I mentioned earlier that in 2 John 1, the writer said, I love you in truthfulness. So in John's writing, he applied truthfulness to love and to worship. And so as the Lord is growing in us and maturing in us, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you read about the first 12 verses, there will be a message on this in the Thanksgiving conference. Message 6 on this. But we all have the divine life and nature. And as this divine life and nature is developing, it goes from one level to another until the high peak is love. And then what follows after that is now you have entrance into the coming kingdom of God. And so, this virtue, which is truthfulness, is becoming our virtue. And by this virtue, we love the believers. So this shows something about the depth of the divine human love, and that the expression of the love, the one receiving it, will just have the sense, this is real. At least a few people have tried to tell me this and that about me, but now I know this is real. This is genuine. This is sincere. Then D, with a couple points underneath this, the truthfulness of God is in me. Now, who said this? Paul, what was he like in the beginning? He wanted to not only imprison us, he wanted to kill us. And he thought he was serving God by doing that. But because he was chosen by God, not only to be redeemed, But to be useful in a marvelous way, so that he could testify, the truthfulness of Christ is in me. I don't think it's a wise idea to walk around and say, "Hi, I'd like you to know the truthfulness of Christ is in me." But I hope you could actually have a little conversation with yourself in the presence of the Lord. You can say, "Lord, the truthfulness of Christ is in me. Father God, I thank you so much that the truthfulness of Christ is in me. And I'm telling you this because you're going to walk out of this room and maybe in an hour and a half or so with more truthfulness than you had when you got up this morning." Amen. Because this is not just theory. Amen. This truthfulness is being dispensed into us. And as we are more and more open vessels, we give the Lord access to any part of our being. And eventually, truthfulness will saturate every part of our being. And that is why we'll be able to thank the Lord and say, "The truthfulness of Christ is in me." Because the Lord wants you to know that this truthfulness is in you. That Paul used, or the Lord used Paul as an example. And you wonder, why would you choose him? Because in his own view, he said, "I was the worst sinner of all. But look what I tried to do. And if the Lord could recover me and dispense his truthfulness in me, he can do this in everybody." Amen. He would almost say, "I'm the most difficult person that ever was for the Lord's redemption." The Lord might say, "You were quite a challenge, but I defeated you," and to make you a testimony of truthfulness within us. One, as in Romans 3:7 and 15:8, truthfulness is an attribute of Christ, as are the meekness and gentleness. So an attribute of Christ is this truthfulness. Since the Apostle Paul lived Christ, whatever Christ is became his virtue in his behavior. What a statement. And I'd like to pause again. Paul lived Christ. What does it mean to live Christ? To live Christ. I don't fully know. I'm still a learner. That's not false humility. It's just a fact. To live Christ, I think we can begin with Colossians 2:20, that we are an open vessel to open the way for Christ to live in me. the life he lived in his incarnation, he wants to live again in me. If you would read a footnote, I think it's in Acts 28, when Paul was on the ship and the ship was broken and everyone had to get into the water and try to get to shore, which they did. There was this testimony about him, that this was Jesus living again, the way Paul was on the boat before it broke apart. That this was Jesus living again in the Apostle Paul. And this is what is on the Father's heart and the desire of the Lord's heart, that, point one, that I can live in you. The life I lived on the earth, I want to live again in you. And then the second point is, you will live the Christ who's living in me. But please see the sequence here. It's not something that we do or we try to be, but Christ is living in us. Amen. And the more he lives in us, then the more we live him. Whatever Christ is became the virtue in his behavior. As soon as I see this word behavior, this is couldn't be more practical than this. It's how you talk, how we respond in so many things, that I'm not driving anymore. And overall, I try to be a safe driver, but I'm driving along and someone, they just move right in front of me. And I thought, how dare you do that? But I'm not going to let you go. But I have a partner sitting next to me, Ron. Just gently put your foot on the pedal and give that person space. That's exactly what I don't want to do. I want to deal with him. But now, my behavior, from God's point of view, is probably worse than his. And so the ordinary aspects of our daily living, more and more they are a situation where Christ can live, and we are living Christ. So now we go on to the second section here, and that is the genuine worship of God the Father is in spirit and in truthfulness. Genuine worship of God the Father. We can set this aside for a moment. In at least three different chapters in Deuteronomy, where Moses was writing about coming to the place three times a year to worship God. And you need to worship him with what he desires. But here was a particular requirement, and that is, you do not come to the place of worship with an empty hand. Rather, you are laboring on your portion of the good land. And we know this typifies the all-inclusive Christ. You are laboring on that part of the land, and the majority of it is for your own need and the need of your family. But the best aspect of what you have experienced in the good land, you bring the best to worship the Father. And it would be very serious for anyone to come with a good feeling, but they're empty-handed. I'm not saying that they would be punished, but God's government will be very active. Don't you realize what worshiping involves? So let's just go from the actual physical land they were in to what it typifies, the all-inclusive Christ. We all know that word, the all-inclusive Christ. Well, again, this is not a training, so I have to be very careful here. But to what extent are we laboring on the Christ as the good land? That I had spoken something along this line about whatever your situation is in your daily living, you have an opportunity to experience Christ. And so we got off a plane at a particular place, and I thought, the lines are so big, you know, to get in. And then the dear one next to me said, remember, you need to experience Christ in all situations. That was so helpful. Because this was a requirement. Don't come to worship God with an empty hand. But now I'm going to make a general comment about the weekly church where I am, in the district that I attend. I would say more than 90% of the dear saints are there, empty-handed. That's all we could do, and all we do is sing one hymn after another and let the content of the hymn being our element of praying and worshiping. And our Father God is very long-suffering. But some of us who have been here more than 50 years, you know the difference between a Lord's table meeting where the saints are empty-handed and we just sing one hymn after another, or at other times, it's just beyond description that so many are bringing the best of their experience of Christ in the previous week. And it just can be released. Well, the Father is waiting for this. He's seeking for this, to have this kind of worship. So he wants a genuine worship. The worship of God the Father is in spirit and in truthfulness. And so now we are going to focus on truthfulness in our worship, our genuine worship of God the Father. Because God the Father is the source of every positive thing. And he's the source of truthfulness. And just this word genuine, the genuine worship of God the Father. And right now within, there's just a simple prayer, Lord, you know where I am. Lord, do what you need to do. Train me to have genuine worship of God the Father. I don't want to come empty-handed. I don't want to be in another Lord's Day morning meeting because all we can do is sing a hymn and with a strong voice read this statement or that statement. It's not wrong, but it's rather elementary. But now we are here in spirit, and there is truthfulness. So the Father realizes, I'm about to receive worship. That's not only in the mingled spirit, but it is in truthfulness. Finally, the reality that is my Son himself has finally become truthfulness to some of my believers. Truthfulness is the divine reality becoming our genuineness. I really like this definition. Of course, it's not my own. That's why I can like it from Brother Lee. Truthfulness is the divine reality becoming our genuineness. So why not, even inwardly right now, Lord, pray. I'm just asking you that the divine reality will become my genuineness. Lord, I call on you for this. And I don't think the Lord will say too much, but he might say, I've been waiting for this kind of prayer for centuries, just simply asking me that the divine reality will become your genuineness and sincerity. And that becomes part of your being so that, I'll say we, you may worship God as he seeks according to what he is. So God the Father wants us to know what he's seeking. Seeking means it's not you're not passive. I'm just here, well, eventually something will happen. I'm just seeking. Where are those that will worship in this way? Where are those that are laboring on the all-inclusive Christ? Where are those that come to the Lord's table with something in their hand, the Christ they've been laboring on? He's seeking. He's waiting. And so we may worship him as he seeks. But then we're also learning according to what he is. So the worship is according to what God the Father is. That is why I refer again to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, where the apostle said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Whenever I read that, even now when I mention it, there's just an inward call. Lord, teach me, train me. What does it mean to have fellowship with God the Father? If this were a training, then I asked all of you just to write down one sentence. You don't have to put your name on the paper, so don't worry about that. That do you, just share with us, you're worshiping according to what God the Father is. So what is God the Father to you? What is he to you? Experientially. And so all of us right now, including I'm speaking to myself before I'm speaking to you, Lord, I want to be trained. I want to learn what you are seeking, Father, and what he is. I want to worship you according to what he is and what he seeks. Be loving in truthfulness is horizontal fellowship. And worshiping in truthfulness is vertical fellowship. Amen. So both lanes are going on at the same time. So this is loving in truthfulness. No matter what the direction may be, fellowship and working. The Lord is just yearning for this. In all the local churches, there would just not be formal kind of meetings. If that's what's taking place, then we're going from the recovered church to the seventh one. It's just weakening. It's just falling short from what God had recovered. KC, to have such fellowship, the divine reality must become human truthfulness. Honesty, genuineness, and sincerity. So just look at this. It's not difficult language, but the meaning is so touching. To have such fellowship, the divine reality must become human truthfulness. How can this not be a prayer? Lord, I want to know, I've been seeking the divine reality. Now I need to call on you that the divine reality will become my human truthfulness. And if I have human truthfulness, then I will have honesty, genuineness, and sincerity. These characteristics are very precious. I hope you single sisters in your whatever age, but especially in your early 20s, I hope you would have in your list of requirements for the brother that you might consider having as your husband. And you say, well, he's not only going to be handsome and strong and brilliant, and so many other things. That might satisfy you for a week or two. But as the years go by, you would say, oh, I'm so thankful. With him, there's honesty, genuineness, and sincerity. What a description of any person. And now I'm coming to point a section here, quoting Brother Lee. For more than 40 years, I have been fighting the battle concerning the genuine worship of God. This battle has not yet been won. So he spoke that in 1982. So it means he was fighting beginning from 1942. I wonder what he would say if he were in the meeting. He would say, well, I finished my course, but your battle has not yet been won. I'm still fighting for genuine worship of God, fighting for it. Well, fighting against what? Not against people. But we know from Matthew 4 and Luke 4, describing when the Lord Jesus, after he was baptized, he was in the wilderness, and Satan was testing him. You know, will you do this or will you do that? And I'll give you everything on the earth if you just worship me. This is what he asked for, worship me. And not only millions, billions of people that don't realize they're actually worshiping Satan indirectly in what they're doing. So there is fighting. I don't know if anyone among us hardly fighting the battle for genuine worship of God. This is an aspect of spiritual warfare, fighting for God's, on his behalf. When we're having a certain kind of Lord's table meeting of the highest category, we're not only aware of, in a human way, the evil, the powers in the air are watching. The positive ones and the rebellious ones are in the air. And if they see, they're breaking through the evil powers in the air to reach the throne, because they are truly worshiping God the Father in every way. Because Satan wants to be worshiped. But if he cannot be directly, he will do everything he can to keep the believers from his genuine worshiping that God the Father is seeking. And so, I have to be limited here, but he would say, even if I could kind of play around with the prayer meeting, that I just remember a couple of years ago, and there was a certain kind of Thursday morning meeting, and at the end, I'm not judging, it was just a fact, when Brother stood up, he said, wasn't this a wonderful meeting? And the vast majority of the saints said, not at all. Because this particular one was just very active. doing this and that, praying a lot, calling hymns. And so this is of utmost importance. The battle has not yet won. I hope that 40 years from now, I mean, those of you who are young, let's say you are 21, now you'll be 63 and you'll say, the battle's still not won. Why don't we just decide, Lord, it's the time. The battle will now be won.
Amen.
Now is the time.
Amen.
This is our decision. This may not be our ability, but this is our desire and our decision. Lord, train us to do it.
Amen.
K.E., today we worship God in our spirit with Christ as the reality of all the offerings, as reality that becomes human truthfulness for the worship of the Father. So let me just ask, we'll have a little conversation here. I believe, are you at least somewhat aware of Christ as the reality of the offerings, like in Leviticus, in the first several chapters, you have this kind of offering and this kind of offering. And these are all signifying Christ himself. And I was just surprised and delighted one morning, my wife and I were in the car driving, going to the place where we serve. And just the praying, Lord, you are the reality of all the offerings. And one by one, there was naming them and bringing them to the Lord. Well, he is the reality of all the offerings. That means all that he went through for our redemption. Christ as the reality of all the offerings. Then we continue, as reality, that becomes human truthfulness for the worship of the Father. Christ is the reality that issues in the human virtue of truthfulness. So I hope that will become impressing in each one of us the relationship between reality and truthfulness. Christ is the reality. Then the issue of Christ being reality is the human virtue of truthfulness. So we need reality and truthfulness to be developing in us personally. The divine reality experienced and enjoyed by us and constituted into us becomes the truthfulness in which we worship God the Father with the worship he seeks. So I want to read this again. The divine reality. I just love this word, reality. Experienced and enjoyed by us. We should just simply pray. Lord, may the divine reality, may we experience this and enjoy it. How can we be satisfied with just knowing about it? Those days are gone as far as I'm concerned. We have to learn something, but the purpose is experienced and enjoyed to be able to testify to these things, experienced and enjoyed by us, and then constituted into us. In other words, it's saturating and permeating our being, that our making is constituted with us. Then it becomes the truthfulness. The divine reality becomes the truthfulness. This is what God the Father is waiting for right now, waiting for the divine reality to become truthfulness in more brothers and sisters. And the truthfulness in which we worship God the Father with the worship that he seeks. So we need to have the truthfulness, and notice in which it's in the realm of truthfulness that we worship God the Father with the worship that he seeks. Not just the kind of worshiping that we produce, but what he seeks. And just right now sitting here, there's this simple prayer within me. Father, what are you seeking? Please show us what you're seeking. Amen. What you've been seeking for centuries. We want to be those that could end this age in this way, to worship you with what you're seeking. We don't want to just be like what was going on ahead of time with our kind of concepts. Then the Lord would make it clear, you have to know and experience divine reality. Amen, Lord. Amen. And this divine reality must become truthfulness. Amen, Lord. Amen. And then realize in this truthfulness, we worship God with the worship that he seeks. Amen. And what a declaration will be to the evil powers in the air. Look what's happening in that locality on the Lord's day, at the Lord's table meeting. What kind of worship is that? It is exactly the worship the Father has been seeking for centuries. And this is a testimony. The enemy, your days are finished.
Amen.
The overcomers, are the coming saints, are going to come to the earth. And the kingdom will be manifested on the earth. F. The Lord's word in John 4 shows us the worship of the Father in the dispensing of God. So this word dispensing, I would say in the last several years of Brother Lee's ministry, the highest development of his ministry, there was much of dispensing. In other words, the all-inclusive Christ, little by little, wants to impart what he is and what he has into us. That is dispensing. And so on our side, I mention this word again, we are an open vessel. The Lord does not want us to asking, Lord, do this or do that, show us this or that. But he's waiting for just be an open vessel, exercising your spirit. Amen. Open your being. And let me dispense myself into you continually. continually dispensing. And so the more that the triune God is dispensed into us, then we have the capacity to worship what he's been seeking, as these 5 points make clear. The worship that the Lord spoke of is the worship of the Father in the Son and in the Spirit. This is the worship in God's dispensing, the worship by God's divine dispensing. And so we worship God with what the triune God has been dispensing into us. In ourselves personally, we're just an open vessel. But if we are an open vessel, not an empty vessel, receiving this dispensing, then what the triune God has been dispensing into us will become, you could say, the substance with which we worship God the Father. The more dispensing, the more genuine worshiping. Two, if we would have true worship, the worship in truthfulness, we would need the divine Trinity to be dispensed into our being. Amen. Last night about 3 o'clock, I didn't wake up to change the time. We did that ahead of time. But I was just wide awake, and I just couldn't lie on the bed, so I got up and sat in one of the chairs. And what was going on for about 45 minutes was just dispensing. Dispensing and then praying. Dispensing, then responding. And then eventually I got sleepy again. And so I went back to bed. And I was getting the best sleep when it was time to get up. That's how it is sometimes, you know. I'm not complaining, I'm just describing. But I appreciated that time. So I'm going to be wide awake, and I'd like to be wide awake with the dispensing of the triune God. Amen. K3, we practice this kind of worship mainly in the Lord's table meeting, where after we partake of the bread and cup, the Lord brings us to the Father in the Spirit, and we worship the Father in truthfulness and in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. This is very precious. We're having the Lord's table meeting, and the Father, you could sum it behind the scene, wants us to be focused on his Son, to enjoy him, to worship him, to praise him. And then after we've partaking, right, of the bread and cup, then inwardly there's a turn. And that is the indwelling Christ now wants to take us to worship the Father. But he's the one dwelling in us, taking the lead to worship the Father. So that's why the worship in truthfulness and in the dispensing of God is the worship the Father by his many sons, with the firstborn son. And these words might be new to some of you. The firstborn son is when the God-man Jesus was crucified, and then when he was resurrected, then with his resurrected humanity, he became the firstborn son. That is, the first human being becoming the Son of God. And that we also will become sons of God with Christ dwelling in us. And so we worship the Father in truthfulness and in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So I want to emphasize again these words, the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. Just simply ask the Lord personally, Lord, make this real, make this experientially real. When you are dispensing yourself as a triune God into my being, and you will know that it's taking place. You'll have a sense in your being. Something is just flowing into me. This is the divine Trinity with the Son taking the lead. And so these verses in Hebrews 2, 11 and 12, they're based upon Psalm 22, where the Son at a certain point takes the lead to worship the Father. Amen. So that is why when we have a turn in the meeting, it's not just something formal, but this is the Son of God as the life-giving Spirit in us taking the lead. Now I want to lead you to worship the Father. Amen. And this is a very precious time. And I was thankful that we sang that hymn a second time, and a lot flowed out. I'm very thankful for that hymn, hymn 16, that we can have a sense of this kind of worship. So I just want to read point four again. The worship in truthfulness and the worship in the dispensing of God is the worship the Father by his many sons with the firstborn son. The firstborn son who has the Spirit mingled himself with their spirit, that's our spirit, as the unique place of worship. So our mingled spirit is the unique place of worship. It's not just our human spirit. We have a mingled spirit. The life-giving spirit of the resurrected Christ is mingled with our regenerated human spirit. And this is the unique place of worship. We're not worshiping in our soul, but through our mingled spirit. The more we experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, the more we will be genuine worshipers and have the kind of worship the Father is seeking. Amen. Worship in truthfulness and in the dispensing of God. So I'm bringing this to an end with pointing out certain important words here in point five. The more we experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So this is a need we have. We need more experience of the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. Just day by day, I believe the Lord will remind me, here's another day Lord, make this another dispensing day. Lord, when I put my head on the pillow tonight, before I fall asleep, I just want to be able to express something, to say, Lord, thank you for another dispensing day. Amen. There's more of the triune God wrought into me, dispensed into me now than when I got up early this morning. Well, let's say this happens 30 days in a row, in 1 month. Isn't there going to be a difference? More and more dispensing. And what is it producing? It's making us genuine worshipers. And then we have the kind of the worship the Father is seeking. This just touches me again. The kind of worship the Father is seeking. Almost there's just a crying out prayer, Father, you're still seeking worship. Lord, just have a breakthrough through the recovery all over the earth. Amen. That in all the local churches, there will be the kind of worshiping you've been seeking for centuries. Amen. So the worship the Father is seeking, worship in truthfulness. Amen. Worship in the dispensing of God. So this is my portion. Knowing and experiencing truthfulness. I believe the next time I see you, and let me just share with you this. If I'm going to make another trip, they're being reduced now. If I have the leading of the Lord to make another trip, I sincerely hope it will be to Barlow. Amen. To be with you again. Amen. And we'll all have more Christ. Amen. More growth in life. Amen. And more truthfulness. Amen. In every way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So please pray for half a minute or so, and then there'll be plenty of time for sharing. If you've already come to the microphone, please don't come again. But others, follow the inner sense. We need your portion.